Hi, I'm Caitlin Diaz, the voice of Riley from Inside Out, and you're listening to the Pixar Podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
Squirrel!
You can't rush art.
Bye, Grabowski!
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at me.
Stranger, from the outside.
Greetings.
Hello there, Pixar fans. Welcome again to another episode of the Pixar Podcast. This is episode number 129. ThePixarPodcast.com/129 is where you can find the show notes for this episode. I'm Derek Clements. And today on the Pixar Podcast, we got a little bit of homework and a little bit of recess.
Walt Disney understood this, that, okay, learning is entertainment, period.
That's Britt Cruz. He's a content producer at Khan Academy, a not-for-profit organization featuring hundreds of online lessons, all completely free, available as a public service for learners.
If you can tell a great story and teach people in a way where they actually digest the material, learning becomes the most fun thing. And some other, aside from like, okay, watching James Burke's Connections, like that is an amazing show. It's not an amazing educational show. It's an amazing show which will change the way you see the world. And that, I feel like, is the ideal of what education is.
Well, that combination of expertise and entertainment has been Pixar's focus since its earliest days. And now that combination is the driving force behind a new program, a collaboration between Pixar and Khan Academy. It's called Pixar in a Box.
Pixar in a Box, first of all, is something, it is an experiment, first and foremost. It's an ongoing experiment.
Yeah. So today on the Pixar Podcast, we're going to open that box and play. Right now, if you go to pixarinabox.org, you can engage with some dynamic, interactive lesson materials covering subjects like modeling, animation, rendering. And the best part, it's all free. At Khan Academy, access to excellent learning materials is thought of almost as a public utility. And that philosophy goes back to this guy.
If Isaac Newton had done YouTube videos on calculus, I wouldn't have to. Assuming he was good. We don't know.
That is Sal Khan, founder of Khan Academy, delivering a TED Talk he gave about this notion of making learning more accessible to more people. It's an idea that originally sprang from some practice problems and videos that he had put online in 2005 to help his cousins with their math homework.
And then people started stumbling on it, and I started getting some comments from random people around the world, and someone wrote just on YouTube, it was a YouTube comment. First time I smiled doing a derivative. And let's pause here. This person did a derivative, and then they smiled.
And now that approach is being used to let people know how Pixar makes their movies. It's an answer to a question that Pixar artists get a lot.
They had obviously fielded so many requests. You can imagine people wanting to know, you know, what's going on at Pixar? Can you guys come to our school?
Yeah.
Do you guys have programs?
That's Britt again talking about the development of the program. And here he's about to drop a pretty deep Pixar trivia deep cut.
You guys have an internal university. Can I come?
Right. Pixar University. That's right. The place exists and it's open enrollment for Pixar employees. It's actually Pixar's internal training program. But back in 2011, it was actually episode 47 of this podcast, I asked the director of Pixar University, Elise Kleidman, why Pixar chose such a liberal artsy name for their internal training program.
I think because of our devotion here at Pixar to lifelong learning, to all being passionate learners and to believing in widening our realms of interest and to cross-training ourselves and to really being as broad in our thinking and creativity as possible.
And what courses can you take at Pixar University?
So from basic drawing classes to cinematography, to improvisation and acting, to directing workshops, to storyboarding, to music for film. I mean, I can go on and on with hundreds of different classes that we've offered.
Elise Kleidman was instrumental, along with Tony DeRose, a senior scientist at Pixar, in working with Khan Academy to create Pixar in a Box.
They're a really interesting pair. So Tony goes way back to Jerry's Game. Some of Tony's pioneering work was on the subdivision surfaces used in that film, which are used everywhere now. And so he's really solving technical problems that address artistic challenges. And then you have Elise, who, again, comes from more of a classically trained artistic background. And you put those two together and you get really Pixar in a Box.
Wow. So if you haven't smiled doing a derivative in a while, or you just want to go behind the scenes at Pixar to see their process for making films, I really encourage you to check out Pixar in a Box, as well as the many other great resources that are on Khan Academy. You can check them all out at khanacademy.org. And if you need help remembering that, just remember this. Now, let's hear my conversation with Pixar in a Box content producer, Britt Cruz. Great. Well, it's really exciting to talk to you. I got an email. I get the sort of press emails as things come out relating to Pixar. Usually they're about Pixar films or whatever, but I got this one email a couple months ago about Pixar in a Box. And I was so excited when I when I saw this. I was like, oh my gosh, what a cool thing that's happening. So I want to get to some details in a bit, but can you just kind of briefly say, what is Pixar in a Box?
The idea was, we want to be able to put something in people's hands. And what we want to do is provide something, we didn't know what that thing was, that would motivate students to learn. And gets kids excited about learning what they're already learning in school, because there is a clear overlap between many of the concepts students battle in school and what goes on in the real world. And in this case, there's a lot of really interesting intersections between math and artistic challenges happening at Pixar. So we thought, okay, there's something here. There's a whole bunch of really interesting stories, basically. And as you know, as a teacher, you know, teaching is presenting narratives really to students. You're telling stories, and these stories often hit on many things, and concepts plays a role in these stories. So how do we tell? And I should say, during this first meeting, way back when, there was a concern before we had even thought about it that, oh, well, we definitely don't need to partner with Pixar. Sorry, no one actually said this, but this was in my head.
Yeah.
We don't want to partner with Pixar and in a way which the goal is to take existing characters and use those characters to teach math. So, I mean, and I have to say that because if you just heard Pixar in a Box, you might think, oh, well, this is a geometry lesson led by Woody.
Right.
And that is a common thing that people produce. So we wanted to not do that thing. Very specifically, what we wanted to do is reveal or expose the authentic stories going on at Pixar. How is math actually used? What challenges are actually being solved? And that's what we got really excited about. So how do we tell those stories? What's the form factor? And at the end of the day, how do we actually create something that can be plugged right into a classroom? And as you know, that's a whole other set of hurdles to get something in a classroom that works. But we weren't focused only on classrooms. We were focused on individuals, but we wanted to make something that parents could use it and teachers could use. So as you can imagine, I mean, that's a huge thing to tackle. So our approach was, well, let's start building things and let's start building and iterating.
Right, right. Well, cool. That's really interesting. And I'm excited to dive into some of these details here. Can we just also establish what Khan Academy is in general? I think there's more than 30 million registered users on the website.
Yes. So it started as a YouTube channel with, you know, a whole universe of short, less than 10 minute very fun and approachable videos, very simple. Sal Khan's videos, you know, they're just done with a tablet based on, you know, helping people understand concepts and then build, you know, hundreds. And eventually he built thousands of videos on, you know, every concept a kid would hit in school, so that it kind of becomes this safety net. If you need help, Khan Academy will be there to help you when you need it. But it grew into a web platform, and that allowed Khan Academy to become an assessment system and a whole bunch of other things on top of just videos.
Yeah, wow.
And the mission of the mission of Khan Academy is a free world-class education for anyone anywhere. So a very exciting mission.
Yeah, it's a great mission. And just the idea of making it free, how is it even possible to make all these resources free?
Good question. It requires visionaries behind the scene who want to support these types of things. Not only individual visionaries, but companies who want to push the bar. And Pixar in a Box is one example of that sort of thing, but there's many others.
Yeah, teaming up with people that are, well, the thing is, I think a lot of people are interested in something like this existing. And so I guess it's about the finding the right people to fund it, because it's quite a public resource that exists. So many subjects: math, physics, biology, economics, art, history, computer science, health, medicine, so many different subjects that are available here. It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah, I like to think of it as almost becoming a public utility, where you need that, because, I mean, in this one package, you have so many problems being solved. And of course, it's free. So I think that's what gets people really excited. There's no paywall. There's no barrier to entry.
Right. Well, I wonder if you could comment on kind of how Khan Academy fits in with the online learning field, because there's a couple other things that exist, right? There's MOOCs, but Khan Academy isn't quite a MOOC, right?
No.
Remind me what MOOCs, it's like massive online something
massively
course?
Massively open online courses.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. So how is it different from those?
Well, first of all, you could think of Khan Academy as a huge universe of content. When I say universe of content, I specifically mean pieces of video content, many interactive exercises, articles. And what Khan Academy wants to do is basically be there for you when you need help. So, you know, you might be working on something completely. It might be in school. It might be a project you're working on. You may be trying to pass a test. At some point, you'll hit a gap in your knowledge. And what Khan Academy wants to do is meet you at your need and provide you with what you need when you need it, ideally in a personalized way. So from the beginning, it was never about, you know, create this course that everyone's going to go through. It was to create this larger resource, which fits in with your learning narrative, but it doesn't define it for you.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And what are some other things out there right now? I mean, it seems like technology has really, and the internet has really exploded the possibility for learning, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. Basically, the technology, the key difference, I think, is web browser technology. And it's funny, you have to just go back 10 years or 20 years to realize that what we have today is amazing. But in a web browser, you can do anything. So anything means you can now construct interactive experiences that run without any installation. They just pop up and they're there for you. So that's the big exciting thing.
And of course, that is powerful.
Of course, there's companies bubbling up all the time that are trying to craft more and more engaging, exciting courses for the general public. And you see that trend's been very strong over the past 4 years.
Well, it's very exciting. Just as you mentioned, I'm a teacher as well as a passionate fan of Pixar and animation and things. And so it's really the type of thing that just gets me excited in lots of different ways. But so let's get into Pixar in a Box. So you mentioned it's different from just using the Pixar characters to tell, you know, teach math or whatever. I swear, I remember when I was in middle school, I think I saw a video where like Donald Duck taught me geometry.
Yep, I know that video. Yep.
Yes.
Checkmate, and the game is over.
That's very interesting. What's next?
Practically all games are played on geometrical areas. The baseball field is a diamond.
Oh, boy.
Without mathematics, we couldn't even keep score.
So this is different than that. This is different than that.
Yeah, and actually, if you go way back, Walt Disney used to do a lot of great programs that were just about revealing what happened behind the scenes. I'm not sure if you've seen any of those.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think I have.
Well, one great one for your listeners to look up is on YouTube. I believe it's Three Artists Paint a Tree. So he had this program. One of the episodes was, okay, here's a tree. Here's three totally different artists. They're all going to paint this tree. They have three totally different styles. We watch that process unfold, and at the end, we see three totally different interpretations of that tree.
Wow. Now, each of these artists is right according to his own ideas. What each one has painted is not just the external appearance of a tree, but his own personal response to what the tree represents. In short, the whole idea of a tree.
So that sort of look behind the scenes goes way back because, of course, that's such an engaging hook.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, so can you talk about just what was the process of building this thing? At what point did you enter the scene here, and kind of how did that whole process start?
So I entered from once we agreed to work together. We started with a blank slate, which was really nice. So I was there from ground zero. The place that our two organizations really intersected on this project was, like I said, one of motivation. And, you know, the hallmark of student-centered lessons is engagement. We wanted to build something we could, you know, send back to ourselves. So that's the premise. And the first step in that process was to agree on some guiding principles about what we were building. For example, one of those guiding principles was, let's tell the most authentic story. And those were huge for us to help, you know, guide us through the fog. And when I came into the picture, I was at Khan Academy thinking about, okay, we have a universe of so many concepts we cover now. This is great. And you could, you know, progress through all of those concepts on your own. And, you know, I have cousins that do that. You know, just, you know, go through grade 5, go through grade 6. You can get it all done. Though I also noticed that in school, one problem with just, you know, progressing through concepts is that they end up being disconnected from each other. They feel disconnected. Another problem is that the domains themselves, so math, science, writing, drawing, those are siloed. So you have this issue where you have like siloed domains, which is a problem because that's not how the real world works. Inside those domains, you often, in school or in home, those are just presented in a way that aren't tightly connected. So I was at the time excited about how do we create some lesson narratives that kind of sweep through all of these domains. And they, you know, they touch on concepts in math, maybe they touch on concepts in design, and they touch on concepts that you don't often see taught together. So if you imagine, you can rightly imagine what I'm describing, you know, you're a teacher, I'm just describing a lesson, you know, an exciting lesson about something, and it's going to touch on some exciting things, and we're all going to have fun going through this process. How do we build a few of these, figure out what's the form factor, but then imagine a situation where there's thousands of these things online available such that, you know, your exploration of math concepts in the future might be through a whole bunch of disconnected paths that, you know, you might hit algebra 4 different times in some other motivating context. And that's your experience with algebra. Algebra is helping you along the way versus, okay, I'm on step 6, now I got to do step 7, that sort of thing.
Huh. Wow. So yeah. So let's tell the most authentic story. So what were some of these stories that you were excited to tell?
Yeah. Great question. So the way we kind of guided this is, one is you can just look at the research papers coming out of Pixar as a way to kind of see where you're going. So one example is we have a lesson. Actually, I'm getting in really deep, but I'll just finish this thought. We have a lesson called character modeling. And every lesson. We call these topics.
Okay.
This topic of character modeling contains multiple lessons. And what we want to do inside that topic, inside every topic, is present a design challenge explain the design challenge, reveal what is happening that requires the solution. And in this case, the character modeling lesson, the design challenge is, okay, well, how do we make our models very, very smooth looking? You know, you go from a very rough model with, like, you know, a very low resolution, but then how do you make it look perfectly smooth? That sort of thing. And how do you do that really efficiently on the computer? And that was one of, like, the technological achievements at Pixar way back when. So to teach that sort of thing, our lesson, we realized, okay, well, we have to start by explaining what modelers even do.
Yeah.
What do modelers do? What kind of tools are they using? And so, okay, well, we're going to need to build simplified tools that Pixar artists use. And okay, so we started doing that. We know Khan Academy has the power to allow us to build custom tools and embed them in a lesson. So we'll take students through a design kind of lesson at a very high level. It should be, you know, acceptable for a general audience. Show them the subdivision algorithm in action. And what I mean by that is they can, you know, draw out a shape using a bunch of points, but it looks very jagged. But then they basically just want to drag a slider and make it smooth. And what's that magic going on there to make it smooth? Well, because we've motivated it through our design lesson, we follow it up with what we kind of first called the deeper dive, where we tie the technical concepts behind the scenes. So we reveal what's going on behind the scenes in the software, what's making it work. And in that second lesson, in this case, you know, there's some algebra we want to get into describing exactly how this process works. So we would motivate and then expose the technical concepts in that sort of general progression.
Yeah. And when you say motivate, are you talking to about how a lot of these concepts, when you're learning them in school, can be sort of, students can feel like they're so abstract. I don't need to learn this stuff. But you're really starting right from the beginning in each lesson with this is why this matters. This is why this is important.
Exactly. And I think this is a huge thing that some people get wrong and some people get right. And it is, you need to teach forwards, not backwards. That's my personal guiding principle for anything I work on. And, you know, one way of saying that is we're going to motivate the problem. You could imagine what I just described about subdivision. We could start by digging into Tony's paper on the subdivision algorithm and then say, oh, now that you did that, now let's go play with the modeling tools. That might work for some, but that's not natural.
Right. Yeah, no, it's so true. I remember I had a science class in college, and I teach English. I've always sort of been more on the literature side. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of pegged myself as somebody that doesn't like science. But I had this science teacher who really started he approached it in a totally different way. And so talking about, you know, cell division and stuff, rather than just talk about that as an abstract way, he's like, let's talk about cancer and how cancer is a real problem that affects people's lives, that kills people. Yeah. And this is why cancer exists. And in order to understand cancer, let's talk about cell division and let's understand how that works. And I thought that was just a brilliant approach, because it really helped somebody like me, like, understand the motivation there. It sounds like you're doing kind of similar things here with this.
Yeah, I love program. That. I love that story. It's so true. It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I want to also talk about so STEM, right? So STEM is a thing that I've heard a lot about. But then as I was exploring Pixar in a Box, I see STEAM. So can you talk about that?
So many acronyms.
Yes.
Yes. So STEM starts as, you know, this way to get science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Again, I don't know how this is a new thing, but it got named as a new thing. Let's create, you know, educational content and lessons that merge all of these things together so students get a better handle on it. And STEAM just inserts art in the equation. So now we basically have an acronym that describes everything you learn in school. Which is why I don't use the acronym myself, but yeah. I don't really know what it means anymore.
It's so broad now.
Soon it'll be like STEAM, like you forgot geography.
let's just put everything that we learned. That's really funny. Well, okay. Another thing I wanted to ask is, I was going through the animation section. And it was really fun because it talks first, kind of like you said, it generally talks about the principles of animation, and then it gives some examples. And there's these little tools that you can do right on the web browser of, here, animate this ball. That this it's a nice little Luxo Jr. Pixar ball. You know, animate this. But it's cool because as the lesson progresses or as it goes forward, you learn more and more things about it. You learn more and more principles of animation. And by the end, you realize, like, wow, animation is complex, but the way that it's broken down, you can really follow it, and it guides you along the way. It's a really, I really liked going through it. It was pretty fun.
Oh, I'm so excited you mentioned that, because I think animation is a great first lesson to check out if you want to see what we're doing. And what's amazing about that lesson is just, again, thinking about making products to send back in time. Let's think about what this lesson is. So I like to think of it as a whole bunch of people holding hands to get at the last hand is the student. So what happens with animation? Well, you have Rob Jensen, animator on The Incredibles, and I don't have his whole thing memorized. I think he was also Finding Nemo, but I can't remember. Yeah. So you have him getting involved. And in each lesson, we feature a different Pixar artist. Alonzo Martinez, Fran Kalal, Rob Jensen, Susan Fong. Soon we'll be working with Haley Iben, Eben Otsby, and it goes on and on. So you have, imagine, you have a lesson with that person working in the field, taking some time out of their day to help craft the lesson and bring you into their office. Take their time editing the lesson scripts and giving suggestions on the lessons. Then the Pixar PU team, also the doc team, comes in and shoots all this video. Other people at Pixar, such as Tony DeRose and others, are reviewing the content getting made. While that's happening, people at Khan Academy are drafting up the actual exercises. All of us as a group, when the lesson comes together, start reviewing it as a whole. How can we make it better? Where's the problems with the pacing? Are there conceptual problems? We all work together. At the end of that, it gets handed off to teachers and other people to test in the field, then provide feedback to us. How can we make it better? Oh, well, you know, it'd be great if you had a hands-on activity. Okay, let's build a hands-on activity to go with it. And at the end of the day, this gets delivered to a student for free. I think, is so cool and so exciting. And I think it's a testament to Tony and Elise's vision, is that, oh, sure, we can do this with Pixar in a Box. Great. But ultimately, we want other organizations to see this and do the same thing. When that happens, our project becomes a success.
Yeah. That's so cool. I have two just very quick final questions. So people can go right now on Pixar in a Box website and see a number of topics that they can learn about. But the plan is to do more, right?
Yes. Again, that's what we have up there, is the result from year one.
Okay.
Just to say, I didn't mention this before, our content is broken up around the production pipeline. So we have animation, character modeling, rendering, and we'll continue fleshing that out in future years. And what we're doing right now, I'm really excited about in year two, is year one was really focused on this design math connection. Year two, we want to branch more into science and specifically into programming and computer science. So right now we're working on some lessons. The first one will be ready in December on rigging. I'm super pumped about it. It's the same model as you saw in animation, where the first lesson is a high level design lesson. What is rigging? How do I rig? Here's a model. Rig it yourself. Learn about all the different deformers. Then the deeper dive now is a software lesson, where step by step you get to write code to actually implement a rigging system. At the end of that, you can imagine, as a teacher, you want to get students to like a creation phase. That's the end goal. So our vision now is they write a bunch of code. Again, the details of that I could talk about for a while, but we're trying to make it broadly accessible. They write a bunch of code, implement what they learned. And at the end of that, we pass it back to you and say, okay, do your own project now. Rig your own character. Design your own character. Come up with your own deformer functions. And have fun. So that's what this type of thing we're working on year two. And again, it's very experimental. We don't have something we can point at and say, oh, we're building that. And in year three, we're looking at how do we get into the humanities? How do we teach editing and storytelling? And you know, that's another whole other exciting challenge.
Wow. Well, that's so, I mean, everybody wins with this kind of thing, right? Because it, not just Pixar, but the whole animation industry benefits from students knowing more. And this, I think, will have such a broad impact on, you know, people of less income or people that don't have as much access as others might. It just, what a cool thing. I'm so excited to follow this project as it goes on. My final question for you is, I know you have personally been involved in a lot of, you know, videos about science education and things. I love the art of the problem that you do.
Sweet.
Really, really great work. I know you've been inspired by people like Carl Sagan, Bill Nye. I mean, could you just, as we end, could you just talk about your feelings about this sort of merging? Those people in particular, I think of as some of the great people that merge science and humanities together, and the arts and the sciences, to really reach a wider subject. Could you just kind of talk about your feelings about that type of endeavor? Not all scientists do that, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool, you know, about all of them. So not only, you know, people like Carl Sagan, James Burke, or Bill Nye to an extent, people who dedicate their life to teaching, there's also, outside of just through that video medium, there's, you know, the game medium, and there's the physical experiential mediums. But what I was always excited about is, and Walt Disney understood this, that, okay, learning is entertainment, period. If you can tell a great story and teach people in a way where they actually digest the material, learning becomes the most fun thing. And some other, aside from, like, okay, watching James Burke's Connections, like, that is an amazing show. It's not an amazing educational show. It's an amazing show which will change the way you see the world. And that, I feel like, is the ideal of what education is. Or video games, way back when I saw Toy Story, I wanted to animate, and all I could find was 3D Movie Maker, a very simple program that, again, allowed you to make movies in a simplified way. Or Steven Spielberg's game in the 90s that actually, and it's actually similar to Pixar in a Box. The origin, if I don't know the name of this game, but Quentin Tarantino was in it, Penn and Teller, Jennifer Aniston.
Wow.
There's a game in the 90s, and it was way ahead of its time.
Oh my gosh.
Where it was like 7 CDs, and Steven Spielberg welcomes you into the room. He says, you're editing this project. You're also directing it. And you would be put in the seat of the director and capture different camera angles. Then you would go into editing and have your chance to cut a movie together.
What would you do if Steven Spielberg walked up to you and said,
welcome. I've chosen you to direct our next project, so welcome to the studio.
Fairy tales do come true. It can happen to you with Steven Spielberg's Director's Chair from DreamWorks Interactive and Knowledge Adventure. You are now a director in charge of filming a major motion picture starring Quentin Tarantino of Pulp Fiction.
Any word from him?
Jennifer Aniston of Friends.
Hello, are you still there?
Barry Corbin of Northern Exposure.
Hello.
Katherine Hellman of Who's the Boss? And the magical mayhem of Penn and Teller.
That sort of game for me was, like, you know, the most fun I could ever have. And what was I actually doing? Well, I was learning about the production process. So when you blur the lines between learning and entertainment, I think that's kind of the key for me.
Great. Well, Britt Cruz, thank you so much for talking to me. I think my listeners will be really excited not only to hear this, but to themselves dive in and try out some of these lessons. It's so easy and available to do this. I really hope that a lot of people will do this. Have a lot of people joined this Pixar in a Box? Have you seen the spike in membership with Khan Academy?
Yeah, so we've reached already hundreds of thousands of students, and we've just started. So that's really exciting. And though I'm really excited about the future of Pixar in a Box and other organizations doing similar things. So I think in a year from now, we should chat again about, you know, how this project has evolved and what's happening now, because I can say I already know of at least 2 large companies doing something similar, but I can't say what, but that gets me excited. Other people, all industry that didn't traditionally do this sort of thing starts doing it, and that's exciting.
Yeah, well, definitely. Let's talk again in a year, and thanks again for coming on. It's been really fun to talk to you.
Thanks so much. I'll be listening.
Okay.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown of proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just my ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
It's got this kind of squirty, melty, it's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain, it's kind of like a... It's kind of like this boom sap kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. All of it's gone. Bye-bye. Who's here?
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.